Hey, reading freaks.
This is Kelly.
And this is Mavis. And welcome back to Confessions of a Reading Freak.
For this episode, we are going to be reviewing The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo by Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yeah, and this is a more, what do you consider this?
I don't know what genre this is. I would say drama.
Yeah. 100%. Because it's not very romantic at all. It's not a romance book.
I don't think it's a romance book. I think it's like a powerful woman kind of.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. It's like a life book, I think, overall, if you really think about it.
A life book, but not like a philosophical or like. It's right. Obviously a fictional book.
Yes. So well, it's. We didn't know in the beginning because obviously we both Googled who's Evelyn Hugo.
Yeah. We thought she was a real person, but jokes on us. She was not.
So pretty much, I love the cover. It actually made me wonder, like, man, was it really seven? Well, I'll tell you my first impression of the book. When I read The Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, I actually thought it was like a lady who was like...
married.
Like schizophrenic. And she thought she had...
she had like seven personalities. Yeah.
But that's really? Like where my brain goes.
Yeah.
Like what's the, how can I make this dark and like worrisome?
Dark humor.
Yes. And then I'm like, okay, so she's schizophrenic. She thinks she has... No, she literally was...
No, she was... She really had seven husbands.
Okay, do you want to describe Evelyn? What's the best way? Glamorous Evelyn.
Should we talk about how the book is written? I feel like the book is written very, very... like it goes from husband, from like first husband... to every other husband. So pretty much the book starts, it's about a girl who is in, what is she like? She's like a newspaper writer or something like that. And she has the opportunity to interview this person because she left a pretty big mark in the movie industry. She was an actress.
Right. So Evelyn Hugo is actually an actress, right? But... she is somehow, although the whole book is about Evelyn Hugo and it's written about Evelyn Hugo's life, she is not the main character.
No, it's like her husbands and how they like shaped the way that she became.
Really? You thought that's who the main character was?
She was the main character, but Evelyn Hugo is not the main character. It was a writer, but the entire book you go
the journalist
through,
is the main. Like but, she is.
Yeah, but you the book doesn't really talk about the journalist's life. So is she really the main character?
Yes. Yes. I just taught main idea this week. And I was telling my students, like, main idea is not something that you're going to find in the text. Like, it's something that it's overall, when you're done with the reading, like, what was the whole point? What did they want you to get from the book?
Right.
Or from the story or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
This is not about Evelyn Hugo. This is about how Evelyn Hugo is affecting the... main person, which is the journalist.
Yeah.
What's her name? I don't even remember her name. So many names because it's seven husbands.
Yeah.
I thought about when I was reading this, I was like, how are we going to review this book? Because when we talk about the characters, there's seven husbands.
Yeah. There's the journalist.
There's a journalist. There's Evelyn Hugo.
There's her best gay friend.
Her best Harry.
Yeah.
And then there's also the love of her life, which is none of those.
None of those husbands.
Yeah, none of those seven men. That's kind of a pretty big... That's a pretty big part of the book.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find out what her name is. The journalist.
Who, the journalist?
Yes, I'm trying to remember. But it's just when you go and you skim through the book...
there you can find it.
You just see names after names after names.
Oh my God, you're like, it might be in the back.
The last one?
Monique Grant.
Look at that. Yeah, I think they say her name literally in the whole story like four times.
Maybe never.
Four times. And the book is pretty big. I think it's like 300 and something pages.
Yeah.
But it's a very easy read. I found this one easier to read than The Perfect Marriage. Mind you, I love the genre of Perfect Marriage.
Yeah.
But I feel like this story, I don't know. I think it's because since it was chronological.
Yes.
Like it was through her life. It was easy to kind of just read through.
Yeah, that's what I liked. That it went from like where it first started, like what triggered her to first get married at what, like a super young age. She was like what, 15?
Yes,
like 16
also, can
or something.
Also, say that I loved when, I don't know, I feel like a little special when like she was like, I'm Cuban.
No, I don't remember.
No. Oh, her parents are immigrants.
Oh, yeah, that's
her parents
right.
are immigrants.
Yes.
Evelyn Hugo. Her parents are immigrants. They come from Cuba. I think I want to say what? Like the 40s, the 30s, around there?
Yeah,
1930s.
Because the book is mostly like 60s. Like
already when she's an adult.
When she's an adult.
Yeah, so
yeah.
We'll say that her parents came from Cuba to New York, I believe. And
yeah.
to New York, and it was like the 1930s, 1940s. She was very young. Her mother died while she was young.
And then her dad was just...
And her dad was abusive. Mm-hmm.
She pretty much wanted to do anything to get out of that, like, household situation.
Yes. Like, the crazy part to me, and I think that's why it's important to mention the family, is that the whole point of her wanting to become an actress and famous was because mm-hmm. that was her mom's dream.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, she says it. And then I remember at some point throughout the book, she's like, after she kind of goes through certain things, she's like, I remember when I wanted to do this because it's just my mom's dream. But now she turned into a different...
A whole different, like...
Person.
When she got into it, like, completely changed the way she saw what she wanted mm-hmm. to do.
Although the book is fictional, I think it does a really good job. And it makes me wonder, like, how did the writer get insight...
To, like, all those people. Like, all the actors, like, the back.
All those people. Like, okay, that's what I was going to say, yes.
The producer.
Like, what it's like to live with fame. What it's like to live with being a celebrity and money and...
Yeah, even when they did, like, the little newspaper things. Because mm-hmm. sometimes, like, the book would go into, oh, Evelyn just got married to another person and this and that.
Oh, it would show, like, an editorial piece from that,
like,
time.
Yeah, like, and it was, like, Washington Post or something like that. I really liked how it did that. It felt very real. So I think that's why we both Googled, like, whether this
Who
person
is
was
Evelyn
real
Hugo.
Or not.
Yeah, there's lots of fans of this book. I'm trying to see when the book was published. Because, again, not only did the writer do a great job at, like, getting insight of what it's like, mm-hmm. she did a great job at, like, I don't know, just describing the feeling of, like, coming from nothing mm-hmm. and then becoming famous, becoming a great actress, a celebrity, what that comes with, what the money comes with, how it turns you into a greedy person, how it turns you power hungry.
Because at the end of the day, you would think that, you know, she was married so many times and maybe love was involved, but love was never involved in any of her marriages. Maybe
she
loved one man.
Yeah. She loved out of those seven, one man.
One. And she would be married for like a couple years, some were like short-lived.
I think her longest one was with her gay best friend. Yeah. She marries her gay best friend, and that was like 15 years or something like
and
that.
And mind you, they were never romantically together.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was just...
So this book was written in 2017. So imagine this writer... gave us insight of not only being a famous person, but what it was like for Evelyn Hugo to grow up in the 1940s, in the 50s, in the 60s. So I think that is
as a like brand new like actress, because the scene of like acting was pretty new to like us.
It's so much. I think that's why I enjoyed the book so much. Yeah. Like, although the story is very, very interesting and it's very entertaining. Not interesting. It's very entertaining.
Yeah.
It was written very well.
Yeah, I love the way it was written. Yeah. 10 out of 10.
Favorite husband,
the gay best friend for sure.
The one that had
no interaction.
True. I will say this, I didn't see him, maybe I didn't want to, but I didn't see him dying.
Me neither. I was really sad.
Yes. It was sad because throughout the whole book she emphasizes she had never actually loved someone. She didn't know, but she had realized that she did learn how to love, and it was by loving her best friend.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love that because a lot of times I feel like people don't think about love that way.
Yeah, they think that love
is with like, a part like
yeah
a, they
romantic
think of, I'm
like,
lying
they
not
think
a partner
of, they
it's
think
like
of
a romantic,
romantic love and love right. can just be like you just love somebody else
right
like as a person,
as
just
a
like
person,
she loved him.
You can have that relationship the same way like a friendship.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond that. Not because it's romantic, but just because of the commitment that you have to that
one
person
another.
To be truthful, to give a little bit of yourself to that person. So that was interesting to me.
I mean, they ended up having a kid.
They were, that's what I'm saying, like that kind of commitment.
Yeah.
That is
because technically it was a fake marriage the mm-hmm. entire time.
She had
really,
multiple fake marriages, but that was probably one of the realest ones.
Yeah, because they really committed and she had a baby. Like, they really had a baby together.
It's just so crazy.
Yeah, that really caught me off. I really thought he was like, maybe he was going to change his mind about being gay. I was like, maybe is there a connection here? Like, is there?
You thought that's where they was going?
I hoped. Like, I knew it wasn't.
I was like,
it would be nice
in
if
the
they
beginning.
Just
maybe
together.
I get what you're saying. Maybe in the beginning, I would say in the first few chapters when they're introducing Harry, she comes on to him. I think.
Yeah.
Like she tries, she realizes he's not interested.
Yeah.
But I never even thought he was going to be gay.
Yeah.
It's like. Literally halfway through the book that they're like, oh, he's like me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Evelyn Hugo at the time, as the book develops, she doesn't like labeling herself mm-hmm. as a lesbian or gay or bisexual. So, yeah. But at the end, it is clear she is a bisexual woman who loves men, but the love of her life was a woman. So she kind of says, like, I'm bisexual, but I only loved one woman in my entire life.
Yeah.
And then that's really something that she hid throughout her whole life, which I thought was
and
crazy.
And I really hated how that relationship, like,
ended.
Yeah. I was really rooting for them because I felt like they had the realest connection.
Besides Harry,
Besides Harry, like, they were...
I mean, think about it. The times that they were living
no,
in.
No, like...
They knew... I remember there was a part that I was like, oh, this is so dramatic. But then I was thinking, I was like, wait a second. No, at that time, they really might have felt that way. Where they were hiding their relationship and they had an argument. Celia was the love of her life. And she met her on a movie set at the beginning of the book.
Yeah. I mean, and they had become, like, friends. Like, their relationship started as them being
They were first friends. And then they became very close. And... I think Evelyn was the one that noticed
that she was like
she was kind of like into girls.
Yeah,
and she realized, oh my god, I'm in love with her.
Even in the newspapers, I'd be like, oh, these two are like hanging out a little out, like, too, a close. Lot too close.
They're
yeah.
a little too close.
They're like going so to like, diners and stuff.
That's where it was going. Yeah. That they had an argument where they were like, oh, but I'm scared. And she goes, yeah, but, you know, it's not that serious. We can keep hiding it, da-da-da-da-da. And one of them says, oh, we could be killed.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, like, that's so extreme.
But you understand it in that time,
it really was felt that way.
It really could have happened.
And we're talking about powerful,
like, actresses.
Women, actresses, who, like, you would think, what do they have to care about? Like, you have everything in the world.
Yeah, right. They would lose all their jobs and their fame. Like, of course.
That is all they had at that time.
Yeah.
And I think especially Evelyn, because Celia came from money.
Yeah, she was used to it.
Evelyn did not come from money. I feel like that's why she held back so many times. Because there was a lot of times that Celia was like, you know what? I don't care if the world knows. But Evelyn didn't. And she never gave in.
Nope.
She even came up with a solution to actually marry another man to hide the fact
that they were together.
Yes.
And Celia even went on, like, she married also somebody else or was dating at the same time.
A football player.
Yeah,
a football player. Who's gay.
Yeah. And they had a whole commitment. Like, okay, you're going to do your own thing. I'm going to do my own thing. But to the public, we're together.
Well, Harry. That was Harry's love of his life.
That was right. Yes. They were pretty much just... They were foursoming.
Yeah, that's what everybody thought. They were like, okay, they're really close.
Yeah.
Because they were pretty much married to each other, but...
But, like... It was like... They were, like, trading partners.
Trading partners, right. But they were committed. There was nothing weird going on. Nothing out of the ordinary.
No.
They fully respected each other. They had a friendship. They were, like, a family. I think that's how they kind of made it seem in the book.
Yeah.
It was 100%. A lot like a family. And then when Evelyn had a baby, it was even more like a family where they would bond over the baby and stuff like that. She stuck through with Celia throughout the time. Do you want to talk about how their relationship ended? Celia and Evelyn, since that is the love of Evelyn Hugo's
Do not remember how that relationship ended.
Okay. They were separated for, I think, like for 2 or 3 years or something. At this point, Evelyn's already 50. Or late 40s.
Yeah, she was older.
And they reunite, and Evelyn's married. She goes behind her husband's back. Her husband finds out right before she gets on the plane, but she tells him. He's a very famous actor or director.
Yes.
I think Max Adler, something like that. Like that. And she tells him, listen, yes, this is what it is, but I'm going to go. And I'm in love with a woman. Like, do whatever you need to do, but I'm going to go get her. I'm not, like, that's it. This is the last time. Evelyn was already at the point in her life where she was like, I'm over it. My daughter's a teenager. She's about to be an adult.
But this is after Harry died. No?
No.
Really? I thought this happened after Harry died.
No, because remember, Evelyn Hugo goes back to Harry and tells him, listen, we're going to go to Europe. And it all happens very closely.
Yeah.
And, like, within a week... time frame, that's when Harry dies, when all of that's being decided. But before that, and Celia were reunited for a while. And when they reunite after many, many years for the first time, Celia tells her, I'm sick. Pretty much has like some type of lung cancer because of smoking. At that time, that's the information that was given to Celia. And she was like, I'm dying. I have 10 years. They gave me 10 years. And I have a plan.
Oh,
so her plan was, we're going to move to Spain. we're going to take everyone. We're going to take Harry. We're going to take
the daughter.
This. You're going to marry my brother. Celia said, you're going to marry my brother. So nobody's going to ever doubt that you're with me. I mean, no one's ever going to doubt that there's anything weird or anything gay going on.
Yep.
And what else?
That's right. She died in Europe, no?
Yeah, she dies in Europe. They get married in Europe.
That's right.
But it's never an official marriage. They get married basically sitting in bed. Yeah. And they... Evelyn Hugo does the ceremony herself in, like, a t-shirt, and I don't know. I just thought it was so sad, but I'm glad that they gave Celia that end.
Yeah, like, a good ending for both of them, because they were each other.
They were
like
together. Lives. She died in her arms.
Yeah.
She died in her arms in Spain, and the plan did go according to plan. The only thing that didn't go according to plan was Harry dying.
Yeah. And then...
Did you see it coming?
No.
I saw it creeping up because she kept mentioning... he was drinking a lot, but she would mention like, oh, but there was times that I think he was doing better, or I wasn't sure. I wasn't talking to Harry as much as often. I was scared to ask him. But there's a reason
why he started drinking.
He started drinking because Celia's ex-husband, the football player, was his love of his life. They were in a relationship for many years and he died.
Also.
Right.
How was it that he died?
It was an illness.
Oh, really?
It was a sickness or something.
Oh my gosh!
I don't know if it was a cancer or something, but it was a sickness.
That's right.
And I think it has something to do with the brain.
Yeah, he took alcohol to like.
So do as it. Soon as the love of Harry's life, yeah, as soon as he dies,
he turns to alcohol.
He turns to alcohol, and it's bad.
She tried helping him, like, hey,
right, spending lots of time with the daughter.
The daughter helped, but still, when he was alone, like, it was really bad.
That was bad. That was really bad.
Yeah.
So I did see it creeping up just because Evelyn would keep having the same thought of like, probably should have stopped him, or she would like, I probably should have told him this, or I should have, but like it was slowly, and slowly she would bring up the drinking less.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she was less, like she was more doubtful that he was still drinking just as bad.
Mad. Yeah.
But he ends up dying because he was drunk.
And driving.
Yeah, he was drunk and he ended up driving.
I mean, he killed someone pretty big.
That's why I'm telling you, you cannot tell me the journalist, Monique Grant, has to be the main character.
I get it.
Okay?
Yeah.
Monique character at the beginning of the book, and they introduce Monique here and there.
Like, very with unimportance.
In between Evelyn Hugo's life.
Like, you kind of know there's an importance because Evelyn picked her to do the writing of
but
this
book. But we don't know why.
Yeah. So pretty much Evelyn
We haven't mentioned that part.
Okay. Yeah, so Evelyn picked Monique to write her life story
pretty much. At already like 60-something
years
old.
Yeah, like everyone was dying to get an interview with Evelyn, and she kept saying like, no, like it's not going to happen. And out of nowhere, she like changes her mind, and she's like, okay, I'm going to write my like life story, but with only this one person, and ends up being Monique. And even the company that Monique works for was confused. What the hell? Like
out
why?
Of all people, her.
Yeah. And there is a reason behind it. And I understand why you see that she is the main character.
She's the main character.
Yeah.
If you think about it, in every aspect, she is the main character. This story of the seven husbands of Evelyn Hugo is to make her career.
Yeah.
Her whole job of interviewing Evelyn Hugo changed her own life. She started changing throughout the story.
Yeah.
Monique Grant, the journalist, she was a bold and clever woman, and she was strong, but she was always afraid of like speaking out.
Yeah, because she didn't want to like ruin where her career was pretty much heading.
She wasn't someone who took risk. And I think throughout the book, it reveals how the more she learns about Evelyn, the more she begins to change her personality and who she's like.
And how she views, like,
right. And she's going, she's in the middle, Monique is in the middle of a divorce.
Yes, that's right.
After a year of being married.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's rough. But it ends up well for her. She becomes stronger. She ends up not falling in love with Evelyn Hugo, but I feel like.
But, like, admiring
she's a fan.
Her.
Yeah.
Yeah, she admires her.
She admires her for
which
who she
mean,
is.
And understandably,
she constantly would tell her towards the end, you are an amazing, because Evelyn Hugo seemed to have, I think, in her story too, a lot of guilt.
Yeah.
A lot of regret.
That,
not regret, because she's a very strong woman. She said she would do it all over again.
Yeah.
Evelyn was very clear that she would do everything the same all over again.
But there was like little things that made, like, there was some doubt.
There was doubt because Evelyn Hugo lived trying to prove something to everyone.
Yeah.
And she was reaching a point of her life where she was doing
it more for everyone else rather than for herself.
She wanted everyone to know that pretty much everything is shit.
Yeah.
Not the things that you think are important. She mm-hmm. did love her family.
Mm-hmm.
Not all her marriages were real. She wasn't really searching for love. She had the love of her life the whole time. She wanted to become honest. She wanted to become, like, she wanted her story to be clear.
Yeah.
And I feel like that inspired Evelyn Hugo to kind of live that way. And she admired her.
Monique.
For, who?
You said that inspired Evelyn Hugo to live that way. That inspired Monique to live.
I'm talking backwards. That inspired Monique. It's how long it took us to prepare the other recording. Okay. That inspired Monique to pretty much kind of like take control of her own life.
Yeah.
And at the same time, admire her for taking those risks. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Evelyn was showing, like, I guess, like, she was reflecting on her past a certain way. I feel like Monique was like, wow, like, she did all that powerful stuff. She got all this money. She came from nothing. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, she's still so humbled.
Yeah.
She's still willing to learn and to, like, be honest and come out as a gay woman at, like, 60-something years old. Mm-hmm. So she admired her. And towards the end, I don't know how long we've been at this. Are we ready to kind of say the biggest?
Yeah.
We are? Okay. Yeah. So, Mavis, plot twist. Why is the journalist, what is Harry, Evelyn, Celia have what to do with this journalist?
Common?
Why did they have to pick Monique Grant, who wasn't really that crazy in her field? She wasn't crazy of a journalist. She had like one good article.
Yeah,
literally.
Barely like made it in like the legit things.
So why do these people have status? What do they have to do with Monique Grant? First of all, Monique Grant, her mom is alive.
Yes.
Her father is dead.
Dead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Her childhood was a great childhood mm-hmm. with both of her parents. She had a very loving home. She has no dark past, really.
Yeah,
the only thing she's dealing with in life is her divorce.
Yeah.
So Monique Grant has a great background. So what mm-hmm. could it possibly be that they would pick her?
Yep. So pretty much it turns out that her father was married to her mother. He had her. Or
they were partners.
Yeah, they were
soulmates.
Yeah, like her mom kind of. I think her mom kind of knew. Mm-hmm. Do you think her mom kind of knew? I felt like her mom kind of at the end, like.
Yes, the way
because she felt like he was her best friend, and not as much as romantic partners.
Yeah, she said it wasn't about the intensity. Is that the word she said? I think it was about intensity or something like that. Mm-hmm. She was like, we were never so passionate. That's the word.
Yeah.
We were never so passionate, but we were always there for each other.
Like,
we cared.
They were
We were best friends. We were soulmates. We were partners for life, no mm-hmm. matter what.
Yeah.
But
it turns out that her dad was
killed in a car accident.
Yep. By
hold on. Before you do that, we need to remember that if there is anything scarring of Monique Grant's life, is that to her knowledge, her father died because he was drinking and driving.
Yep, that's right. That was a narrative.
She thought the whole time that
he was the cause of his own death.
Right, which she always suspected that was a little weird because she was like, he's not really a drinker, but you know, I was a kid, maybe I don't remember. But she had such great memories that she didn't think anything of it except something's weird.
Yeah.
And then
it turns out that
Evelyn Hugo breaks down why she was chosen.
Yep.
And pretty much Monique's dad
was killed
in a car accident
with Harry, and Harry was the one that was drinking.
Her father was not drunk.
Nope.
But Evelyn Hugo confesses in the book that Monique will be writing for her that pretty much Evelyn herself grabbed his body, took Harry out of the car. It was a really bad accident. The way they described it was like it was stuck in a tree or something.
Yeah, it was really bad.
She takes Harry out because she was on the way to his house to go to Spain or something, to travel or something.
It was something big, yeah.
So she has a driver. The driver takes her. When she gets there, she sees the car and she goes, no way, no way, no way. There's no way.
She realizes the car.
She realizes, oh my goodness, it's Harry.
Mm-hmm.
She takes Harry out of the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. She takes him to the hospital, but before doing that, she moves this black man.
Yep.
Who she does not recognize. She does not know who it is.
Yep.
She finds out later that I guess Harry did really have someone special in his life, and it mm-hmm. happened to be Monique Grant's father, mm-hmm. who was gay.
Yep.
And he died for, I guess, just being a passenger, not anything else.
Yeah, the passenger.
For just
being, she's the one that switched it. Like, right. That made it believe like he was the one that crashed.
Right. So when the report comes out, Harry, they make in the newspapers and everywhere in the news, they say that Harry died from an aneurysm.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing about drinking and driving.
Because he was never seen in the scene.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And Monique Grant's father was the one who died because
of drinking
and driving.
Yep.
Right. So I don't know if the drinking and driving was as scarring for Monique Grant as him being gay.
Yeah.
And not scarring, but more of a shock. Because she was okay 100%. With it when she spoke with her mom.
Yeah.
And she received a letter from Evelyn Hugo that her father was breaking up. I don't know if you remember.
With Harry, no?
Yeah.
Because he
so they were together in the car, but Monique's grandfather was about to break down to Harry that this is not going to work because I have a daughter and I love her.
And he loves his wife.
And I do love my wife, yeah. And I'm not willing to give
destroy,
it up.
Yeah.
Another thing we need to mention. Harry is a director. He's mm-hmm. a writer, a producer, and he met Monique Grant's father because her father was also a director and producer.
Well,
or a photographer, something like that.
I actually don't remember his background much.
Yeah, that's where they met. They met on a scene.
Oh, yeah.
Because I remember Harry mentioning to Evelyn, oh, I know that I said I was never going to meet anyone else because I had already met the love of my life,
mm-hmm.
but I think I might have found someone that I really do like. That was the same day that he told mm-hmm. her. And it happened like hours later that he died.
I just wonder why he was drinking so much that he literally got into a car accident.
He was drinking because he had a drinking problem. What do you mean?
That's true. But damn.
It had been years that the love of his life
had died.
But that's it. He picked it up, and an addiction is...
An addiction.
Which, it's funny because he never mentioned it as an addiction in the book.
Mm-mm.
But that's why I say it's so well written, because maybe at that time
it wasn't talked about.
It wasn't spoken about.
It was normal.
It was just like, oh, you know, he just drinks a lot.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting.
I definitely did not see that ending, like, about Monique's father. I knew that...
Why did you think Evelyn Hugo picked Monique?
I definitely knew, like, it was going to be something. Like, I definitely felt like it was...
And they emphasized it. And the closer you got to the end,
yeah,
the more Monique was like, you need to tell me right now. Because
like,
if
why
not,
am I here? Yeah.
I'm going to leave. I need to know right now. Why am I here?
I don't know. I don't know what ever crossed my mind. But it was definitely not, like, her father being gay and, like, being killed. I like that never crossed me.
Do you think Evelyn Hugo was just treating Monique like as a charity case? Like, oh, I feel bad that you didn't know how your dad died, so I'm giving you this book of a lifetime.
I just wonder why it took her. Well, okay, Evelyn ends up pretty much killing herself, like overdosing.
Yeah, that's, you know, I don't know why I didn't find that. I don't know. That's crazy. At the end, whatever, once she finishes telling her story
to Monique.
Monique, so that way Monique can go on and start writing the biography,
mm-hmm.
She makes it clear that she never had lots of time.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it coming that she meant that she was going to...
Did her daughter die?
Overdose. Evelyn Hugo's daughter?
Yes.
She died of breast cancer.
That's right.
Evelyn Hugo has breast cancer, which is why she was kind of hurrying up the story. Like,
yeah.
I need to tell you the story fast because I don't have a lot of time.
But
I thought it was because she was so sick.
That she was dying from cancer. Now that she was going to overdose on pills and die.
Yeah.
That literally caught me so
off
guard.
I feel like now that I'm going back, we've said so much of the story and all of these parts are so important, but I feel like we said it exactly how it was said in the book.
Yeah. We went kind of chronologically.
We went in order, but we mm-hmm. also like revealed it the same way that the book does.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you think about it, like, she had breast cancer, but that wasn't like the crazy part of the book.
No.
She overdosed on pills because she decided to kill herself, but that wasn't even like
the
crazy.
Craziest
That's
part.
Why, again, Monique Grant is
the main character.
The main character.
I just wonder like why it took that. Like, I wonder why it took her so long and what made her be like, all right, like, that's it. I'm ending my life like right here, right then. After the story gets told. Like, you could have done it before.
I think she just realized, like, I don't know.
Definitely feel like her daughter dying definitely impacted her so much. Because, like, everyone
around
her
It had happened, like, five,
dying.
6 years ago.
Yeah. But, like,
yeah.
She lost Harry.
She lost everyone.
Her daughter, like, the one person.
Yeah,
exactly.
She outlived everyone, including the people she shouldn't
exactly.
have outlived.
So, I feel like maybe, I don't know. I feel like there was a guiltiness, definitely. I don't think she was a charity case. Because she ended up helping Monique. Like, Monique actually ended up, like, being a great writer. And she got so much recognition from this
writing.
But I
think she was going to do, like, she knew that she was going to do that no matter what.
What?
I think that what she actually helped Monique with is kind of, like, teaching her the lesson of taking control of your life.
Yeah.
But I, with her initial reason as to why she picked Evelyn, like, I think that she thought the best way to tell her was to make her understand her story.
Her story, yeah.
Like, okay, listen, this is how my life went, and I want you to, I want to explain to you everything that got
led
me
up to that moment.
To move a dead body,
yeah,
and put it in a passenger seat.
And take the other guy out of there.
And take the other guy. I want you to know I lived with it my whole life and how I got to that point.
Yeah.
And that I've learned to be a better person.
I mean, I definitely enjoyed that she gave that, like, background, because I feel like she would have been here and be like, all right, listen, your father died. From
She thought that was the best way to tell someone that strong something.
Yeah.
100%.
That was, I can't imagine for Monique, like, her world, her perspective of her father, like, greatly shifts when she was told this information.
I think the letter helps. I think in the letter she saw that he had initially left for Harry. Mm-hmm. It was so honest that I think it made her like, okay.
Be like, okay.
This was not true, but obviously my dad loved me. Like, he picked me and my mom over himself.
Yeah.
This wasn't what he dreamed of. It wasn't what he wanted, but he still gave me the best life possible.
Yeah.
And he inspired me because she talks a lot about her father in the beginning.
Yeah.
How she's like, if my dad would have seen me right now, he would have, you know, he would have said I'm a badass.
She held him very like high, like. Proud.
Yeah, so she never stopped doing that.
Yeah.
If anything, her feelings more shifted about Evelyn. She said that, I think towards the end, she's like, I don't know if I'll ever be able to forgive her. But about her father, I thought it was nice. I don't know. It was nice. It was different for me. It was refreshing. And it was a quick read.
It was like, I love that. Honestly, I remember, I found this book on TikTok. And I remember seeing the cover and seeing like Seven Husbands. I'll be like, oh my God, like, what is this fucking nonsense? I'm not gonna like this. Yeah, and then it literally kept appearing on my TikTok. And I was like, you know what? I didn't even read the back. Like, but it was like on everyone's like top books to read. Like all the book,
it was
the
nice.
Book TikToks that I
There's
read.
There's lots of fans, that's for sure.
Yeah, I was like, there
my
has
Google
to
search
be
confirmed.
Something. I was like, there has to be something good about this book that everybody literally raves about it.
It's good.
And I was like,
out of 10, what do you think?
Why did we give Perfect Marriage?
We gave Perfect Marriage 7.5.
Honestly, I think I'd give this one like an 8 or 8.5. Because I got the closure I needed. Like, my questions were answered.
It was written right.
Yeah, like,
the
I didn't...
The characters were all interesting.
Yeah.
I
there was
I
so much, like, background. Like, you understood the characters.
I would love to... And I'm not those kind of people because I get really frustrated when I read a book and then the movie's ass.
Uh-huh.
But I think
this
they
one
could
would
make
be...
something great out of this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, 8.
Yeah.
I think 8. For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So, 8 out of 10, we recommend this book for you to read. We're going to apologize, not in advance, or I guess in advance, because they're going to hear it once we're done. But if the plot sounds a little tricky, it's because of the amount of characters.
Mm-hmm.
There are certain plots going on here and there, but the biggest one is obviously the life of Evelyn Hugo and how it affected the journalist.
Yep, Monique.
So if it sounds all over the place, you'll understand it once you read the book. 8 out of 10 recommend, so definitely give that a try.
Mm-hmm.
If you're listening to this from the perspective that you already read the book, go ahead and you can find our Instagrams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Give us some input.
Yeah.
I feel
what
like this book,
think?
Like, will get
There's a lot to
people.
Talk about.
Yeah,
yeah,
100%.
You might have gotten something different than us, so just let us know. For our next episode, we're going to be...
We're
going to
be reading 101 Essays That Change the Way You Think. Is it called? Yeah, 101 Essays That Would Change the Way You Think.
Okay,
so this
cool.
is definitely a more like philosophical book.
We want to switch it up.
Yeah.
We switch it up.
100% it's not a book that you read... Like, you do not read this entire book.
No?
No.
It's really bad?
Like, no.
It's like long?
No, because it's not really like... it's not a story. So like each... There's...
Oh, but like I read poetry books like that, and they're not stories,
right? But I don't think this book is one you read.
Okay.
Like you don't, you'll
it's probably
see
something like I've never.
I mean,
read
I read the first 18 like essays, I guess you could say. So they each have like little titles.
Oh, okay.
So like one of them was like
hello, we can't. We can't go in. That's the next episode.
But
we gotta.
It definitely makes you like you read some. You're like Yeah, I definitely like felt that, and I understand why
makes
I felt
that way. Makes you reflect
a
little bit about life.
Very reflective, 100%.
Good. So that means we're gonna have lots of confessions.
I definitely cried in a couple.
Oh God, are we gonna cry? Alrighty, so let's wrap it up.
Okay. Well, thank you guys for being here.
Thanks for joining.
It was another great book. We're on book number two, and I think we're going.
We're going in. There's a list, and it's gonna get completed. We're gonna keep going, and we hope that you guys continue following along.
Bye.